Genesis chapter 11 and Acts chapter 8. I like that song. They just learned it, so they're warming up on you tonight because they're going to sing that for the start of our missions conference next Sunday morning. So I'll see they'll do it even better next Sunday morning, but they did good. They did good. It's hard for me to tell behind them because I can't hear them that well. But so if they did horrible, don't tell them. And no, they did good. They did good, I think. Sounded good to me anyway from the back. Genesis 11:9, Acts chapter 8 and verse 4. Once you have that, if you'd stand and stretch in honor for the reading of God's word for a moment. Genesis 11:9 and Acts 8:4, just two verses tonight. And well, we may talk about some other verses, but to start with just two verses, Genesis 11:9, Acts 8:4, and verse 9 of chapter 11 says this: "Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth." And notice that word scatter. Notice that word scatter. And you don't have a Bible? You didn't raise your hand. Josue, share your Bible with him, will you? Give him Blaze's Bible. Blaze won't need it. And, no, I'm just kidding. I don't know where Blaze is. He must be in the restroom. And Acts 8:4. Let's go over there. Acts 8:4. "Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." Let me read that one more time. "Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." And I think you understand the connection here I'm making with these verses in just a little bit. Let's go ahead and pray. We're going to talk tonight about the Lord scattered them. We will pray and then let you be seated. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we're thankful, Lord, for the opportunity to be in your house tonight. We're thankful for the blessings of this morning, Lord. We're thankful for those baptized this morning. We're thankful, Father, for the many visitors that came this morning. We're thankful, Lord, to be back tonight in your house, Father, and thankful to gather around the Word of God once again. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated. The Lord scattered them. Now, when you mention the word preaching in most to most churches, it means nothing more than a service on Sunday with a man standing behind a pulpit and with a Bible open and preaching the Word of God. You know, I think that's good. That's fine. That is a definition of it. But preaching is more than just that. At Lincoln Baptist Church and at some other churches that have the same type of mindset, means more than just that, amen. Preaching is more than just getting up behind a pulpit with the Bible open and preaching the word as the pastor. It's associated with more than just one man behind the pulpit, and it was most of the time in the Bible too. Most of the settings in the Bible where it talks about preaching, it wasn't talking about just a man up behind a pulpit. It was instead making reference. Preaching, as mentioned in the Bible, is not necessarily just one man to a crowd, but it was those going out and taking forth the gospel of Jesus Christ and carrying the message outside of the church. Amen. Outside of the church to everywhere. Amen. That's what it was. And you realize in the Bible, church was for saved folks. Amen. Most of the folks came to church. Amen. They was already saved. Amen. It was those who were outside the church who may not be saved. And that's why God wanted to get the gospel to everybody. Amen. And so that preaching of the gospel involved taking outside of the church everywhere. Everywhere. And it's just the way God wanted to be. Amen. Now, the word scattered means the same as the word disperse. The word scattered, we talked about that in a couple of our verses there. It means the same as the word disperse. And it is not the kind of word that was indicate necessarily a volunteer action. Not necessarily that. It doesn't mean that everybody just said, let's scatter ourselves everywhere, let's scatter ourselves abroad. It implies instead that somebody else did the scattering. And somebody else did the scattering. And that's the key there. And so imagine you have a crowd of people somewhere, maybe out on a corner someplace or something like that. And maybe there's an unruly mob or something. What do? They call the police down there. The police do what? They disperse the crowd. Okay, what do? They scatter them. They get them going all kinds of different ways. And they scatter the crowd. And, well, that's kind of the way God did it here. He scattered people all over the world in Genesis chapter 11. Amen. He scattered them all over the world. What was the matter? They were all getting together. What were they trying to do? Oh, they was trying to build a tower. What were they trying to do? Build a tower to reach up to heaven. So God just went ahead and scattered them. He scattered them. And got them all separated, scattered them about. And that's why it said, thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth in Genesis 11, 9 that we read earlier. And so God spread them out. But then God also wanted those people to get the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so early on he scattered them all over the world. Then later on, guess what? He wanted to scatter the gospel, amen, across the world. He wanted to get the gospel to everybody. And so he then had them scattered, amen, to the regions beyond you, amen. And that's what men of God are supposed to help do, to some dispersing of God's people, to take the gospel everywhere around their city, their state, their country, their world, amen. That's what's supposed to be. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm supposed to be a dispenser tonight, amen, to help dispense you, encourage you, amen, to tell other folks about Jesus Christ, amen. I'm to disperse our church tonight, to go and preach, amen, the gospel to our city. I am to encourage you and motivate you in this area. Many love the fact that I'm a soul winner, and I'm glad you do. However, as a church, don't ever rely on your pastor to do all the soul winning for you. That's not what a soul winning church is all about. It's not something that's supposed to be relied just on the pastor, amen. Everybody should be doing their own soul winning, amen. Just like everybody should be doing their own Bible reading, everybody should be doing their own praying. Amen. I may encourage you to read the Bible, but you still got to do it for yourself if you want to get it done. Amen. I may encourage you to pray. I may pray for you, but I cannot do your praying for you. You got to do your own praying. You got to do your own praying. You need to tell folks about Jesus Christ yourself. There's people you know I won't know, and there's people that need the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, as I mentioned, the word scattered means dispersed. Also, it implies another meaning, and that's this. To sow seed, Calvin. To sow seed. There you have it. To sow seed. And you take seeds out in order to grow some grass, amen, or something. We as the people of God are supposed to go outside, amen, the church and sow some seed, amen. The Bible says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. In Psalms 126, 5 and 6. So we're supposed to sow seed. Amen. We're supposed to sow seed. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to sow some seed. Churches in America, we're growing and having big crowds 50, 60, 70 years ago. They were growing, filling up. Churches were running buses, winning souls. They were growing. One problem a lot of churches had, they were kind of weak in another area of this thing of the Great Commission. Say, what's that, preacher? Missions. They were kind of weak in missions. Some of them, not all of them, but some of them. Foreign missions, getting the gospel out to the other side of the world, to the regions beyond. Then a shift seemed to take place. And missions became greatly emphasized, particularly in some groups of Baptist churches, greatly emphasized. And that sounds good, and it is good to a point. But what began to happen in the shift is then the home front was neglected. And all of a sudden it became popular to give a lot of missions money instead of going soul winning. Then you still feel good about yourself, amen. Well, we're helping support missionaries who go to the other side of the world. But wait a minute. We won't go across the street and tell them how to be saved. But we're supporting missionaries. Yeah, it's easier that way. It's easier that way. That became the trend. Support missionaries. Forget about our own neighborhoods and our own cities. All their money went to foreign missions, and the home fields were unworked. Then it seemed to cycle around again the other way. For some churches and groups, it's to the point now where it almost seems like you have soul-winning churches that are weak on missions, and then you have quote-unquote mission-minded churches, if you want to call them that. I don't know what to call them, but that are weak on personal soul-winning. I have a strong belief that every church should be strong in both. Because the issue cannot be separated. If you're going to fulfill the Great Commission, it's about here at home, and it's about the next town over, and it's about the next state over, and it's about the next country over, and it's about every place. See, God loves all of them. Amen. Red and yellow, black and white, they're all precious in His sight. We're supposed to take the gospel to everybody, to all places, to regions beyond you. Amen. The ones that are out of our reach, we are then to help support somebody else who is going there. That'd be the missionary. That'd be the missionary. And in Luke chapter 14, I don't need to turn to it, but our Lord tells about a man who made a great supper. He bade many to come. He sent his servants at supper time to say, "Come, for all things are now made ready." The Bible says that one said, "I cannot come. I have married a wife, and I cannot come." And I can see why that would be true. He said, "I married a wife. I cannot come." One person said, "I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I cannot come. I must go and prove them." One fellow said, "I bought a piece of ground, and I've got to go see it. I just cannot come because of that." And that doesn't sound very likely, does it? I bought a piece of ground, I got to go see it. Who buys a piece of ground before they see it? The man that made the feast said, "Okay, then go out and tell the poor, the maimed, the halt, the blind." Now, where are the poor? They're outside the church. Where are the maimed? They're outside the church. Where are the halt? They're outside the church. Where are the blind? They are outside the church. He said, "Go and tell them. Go and tell them." The servant went out and told the maimed, the halt, and the blind. He came back and said, "Master, it is done as thou hast said, as thou hast commanded. I went and invited these folks, Master." Paraphrasing. One person said he could not come because he got married. One fellow said he could not come because he bought 5 yoke of oxen. It must prove him. One fellow said he could not come because he bought a piece of ground. So I went out and I told the halt, the maimed, the poor, and the blind. And I told him, now he said, "I have done as I has commanded." And then he said, "And yet there is room." The Lord said this in Luke 14:23, "Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." Now, you can say that it's just for a bunch of fanatics if you want to. However, if you believe the book tonight, amen, you're going to have to realize one thing, that God has scattered them all across the globe. He did. And then it's the job of the believer to get to them. And so God scattered the believers then all across the globe to go get them. Even the poor, the maimed, the blind ones, all of them. He said, "Well, how about them stick, preacher? We go out and do all this soul and go out and tell everybody how to be saved. How about them stick?" Oh, get off that. That old dog quit hunting a long time ago, amen. Get off of that. Get off of that. You know, people I found to say that, that's the lazy ones. I don't want to do that. Preachers say that. And when I find out they're lazy preachers, they don't want to go soul winning. Amen. Well, I don't want to push their people to go soul winning because they might have to get out of the office and go too. Amen. They might have to. And so they say that. Statements like that. "Well, how many of them stick?" It's not my job to worry about them sticking. I'll do the best I can to encourage them. But it's my job to go and tell them. Amen. To go and tell them. That's what God wants. He wants them to go and tell them. People like to be critics tonight. Amen. But we've got to use New Testament methods. Amen. And by the way, a lot of people that say that, I'm going to tell you something. The missionaries they support aren't worth supporting usually. I know, because I've been in those kind of churches. And you read these letters, and they send these missionary letters, and you read this letter, and you read it from top to bottom, and you turn it over, and there's nothing on the back usually, and you say, you know, you shake it up and down, you know, say nothing come out of it. They didn't say one thing in there about anybody getting saved. Well, what are we paying this missionary to go over there for? How about those over there gets people saved? They write some letter for a couple months, a period of time, talk about what they've been doing, and ain't nobody got saved. So, well, preacher, how do you know nobody got saved? Well, let's see. If I was a missionary, I was writing a letter to my supporting churches, and some people got saved, I think I'd want to tell them about it. That's the idea of it. You don't get people get saved and say, oh, we forgot to tell you, some people got saved. We thought instead we'd tell you about how we're enjoying everything over here and how wonderful things are and how our kids like it and all of that. And you look at that thing and you say, what in the world does this have to do with being a missionary? Sounds like they're on vacation. That's the problem. Got to support missionaries that are soul winners too, amen. New Testament methods are important. Now, the honest, simple truth is, this is a New Testament Christianity concept, amen, and it should be basic New Testament Christianity. If someone doesn't like it, then get ready to run. Because we've been practicing around here for a long time, amen. Our church is 10.5 years old. I started this church 10.5 years ago, and guess what we've been doing since the first Sunday? Been winning souls. Been telling folks how to be saved. Been going out house to house, door to door, person to person, all over this neighborhood for 10.5 years. We ain't gonna change now. Amen. We ain't gonna change now. We're gonna keep doing more of it. Amen. I plan on next year doing more. Amen. I plan on launching out even deeper in the next couple years to come. Amen. I plan on practicing some of the most active, enthusiastic, bombastic, aggressive programs and ministries that our church has ever seen. And don't ask me what. You'll find out soon enough. Because you're the ones that are going to help me do it. Amen. And but that's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. And we've got to get this job done. And we will only be supporting soul winning missionaries also here as long as I'm pastor. That's all we support now, and that's all we'll continue to support. So, well, preacher, personally, my preference is a more staid, formal type of a church. I know, so is the devil's. That's what he likes. My preference is a high ritualistic type church. I like preachers that wear robes, have candles, and I believe a pastor's job is just to preach the basic message and not ad lib to it. Yeah, the demons in hell like that too. Amen. That's the kind of church they like. Amen. Where nobody ever gets saved. Amen. But preacher, I don't believe in going out there in the streets and doing all this rabble rousing. Too bad. The Bible does. Amen. I don't call it rabble-rousing anyway. Amen. We call it soul winning. Telling folks about Christ. Amen. We don't rabble-rouse. Anybody ain't interested, we just move on. And we don't rabble-rouse with anybody. It's time that the New Testament church became like it was in Acts 17:6. The Bible says, these have turned the world upside down, are come hither also. If you want to find out what type of a program or what kind of churches they had in the New Testament or what kind of a program they ran, just read the book of Acts. It's full of it. From beginning to end. Amen. It's full of it. It's one of my more favorite books of the Bible. Amen. And so we'll give an example. How about Acts 1:8 says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Amen. Acts 5:28 says, behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. Acts 5:42 says that it went to every house in Jerusalem. Amen. So they started with their own town, Jerusalem. They went to every house. They were getting the job done. And this is what God was telling them to do in Acts 1:8. However, they were only reaching Jerusalem. So God decided, hey, we're going to have to bust these guys up a little bit. I mean, he said, I'm going to have to scatter them. So remember the rest of the verse? We've seen it many times before. I know many of you have. It said Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. So God says, we got to get to those areas too. So in Acts 8:3, it says, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committing them to prison. And then Acts 8:4, our text verse this evening, one of them. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went where? Everywhere, preaching the word. They were scattered. Why were they scattered? Because persecution came. When persecution came, they went on the run. When they went on the run, they went to other places. But guess what they kept doing? They kept preaching the word. They kept telling folks how to be saved. Amen. And by the way, in verse 5, you'll see that Philip was holding a great revival meeting. Amen. In Samaria. And he's getting the job done. Amen. Why? God scattered him. That's why. God scattered him. Oh, I think Samaria was one of the places listed. Oh, I think Samaria was one of the places the Jews didn't like, wasn't it? Yeah. That was the people they didn't like. The people that were half Jew and half Gentile. They called them half-breeds. They didn't like them. But God said, guess what? You're supposed to go tell them too. After he scattered them, guess what? Philip got busy down in Samaria preaching the gospel, amen, and seeing folks saved and baptizing them. And God did some great things. And God even took him from there, amen, and sent him down out there into the Gaza Strip, amen, to that Ethiopian eunuch out there in the chariot reading the Bible, trying to figure out how to get saved. Philip hears him talking, amen. He says, understandest thou what thou readest? And he says, how can I except some man should guide me? And Philip got up into the chariot with him, amen, and preached unto him Jesus from that same scripture in Isaiah. Amen. Told him how to be saved. He said, here is water, what doth hinder to me be baptized? And he said, if thou believest, thou mayest. And he baptized him, amen, right then and there. And praise the Lord for that. So here it is in a nutshell. We must be getting the job done right here in our town, our Jerusalem, Lincoln, Nebraska, for us, amen. Then we must be getting the job done outside of Lincoln, amen. Jesus, during his earthly ministry, talked about going to the next towns, amen. And we as Lincoln Baptist Church must get involved one day before too long in starting churches. We're not ready to do that right now, but we're going to have to do that eventually because that's the next towns, amen. We must start churches in other towns and other towns in Nebraska and the United States and other towns on the other side of the world one day. God want for us to do that. That's what a church is supposed to do, reproduce. Amen. And reproduce. Now, if we aren't prepared to do all that as a church, then we'll have to do something else. We'll have to support other men of like faith and practice who are going to do those things. Amen. Who's that? Missionaries. That's who. We're going to have to support them to go and start churches somewhere else. And that's what we're going to be doing. Amen. That's what we've been doing. We already support 10 missionaries. And so anyway, we're looking to support more. But we want to get the gospel out at every level. We want missions at every level, amen, locally and the regions beyond. Remember what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10:16, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. We must reach the regions beyond. However, we are struggling in many of our churches to even reach our Jerusalem. It's a shame, but it's true. Right. Why the days of men like Moody are gone, and the days like men like Torrey are gone, and all those others, men of yesteryear had great soul winning revivals, reaching Chicago and other parts of the world, some of those men in other places, and holding great campaigns and so forth. You know why they're gone? Because people, as Christians, have lost their zeal. They've lost their excitement for the things of the Lord. They've lost their zeal. They're bogged down by the world and its worldliness, and they've forgotten about what's truly important, the gospel of Jesus Christ and the souls of men that weigh in the balance, that'll go to heaven or hell based on their acceptance of Christ as their Savior. We've gotten too reckless about this, of getting the gospel out. We've not done our part like we should. The Apostle Paul went out on his missionary journeys in Acts chapter 13, and he went to a little island called Cyprus, and he went to a town called Seleucia, and on his first missionary journey, a deputy there came to him and started talking to him. Paul started off with a big fish, amen. All of a sudden, what always happens, the devil sends some opposition to come. Opposition comes. They showed up. Who was it? It was a form of a sorcerer that came. He tried to put a hex on Paul. Paul prayed, and God struck this sorcerer with blindness. Who got hexed, huh? Wow. Boy, that'd be neat, wouldn't it? If we could pray on false prophets and have them a bit blind, amen. That'd be nice sometimes, wouldn't it? There'd be about 1,000 blind ones in the ministerial associations tonight. Yeah, a bunch of false prophets, a lot of them. Paul journeyed down to Antioch and Poseidon. The Bible says they preached and the whole city came out. It says they preached and what happened? They were expelled, thrown out, kicked down the road. What'd they do when they got out of the town? They kicked the dust off their feet. That's what they did. And they moved on. Went to the next town, Iconium. The Bible says in Iconium they preached so much that the whole city was divided. Multitudes believed, but they had to flee. They fled for what? Their lives. Where'd they go next then? How about Philippi? Who'd they meet? Lady. What was her name? Lydia. She was beside the river. What'd she do? She had an open heart, the Bible says. What happened? She got saved. What'd they do? Baptize her. It's real convenient, amen, right by the river. They wanted to cry. She got baptized. Hey, the persecution kept moving them. What was God doing? Scattering them from place to place, from place to place. The gospel was being given out, and some people were being saved at about every place they went. However, God did not see fit to leave them in some of those places, and he moved them on. Perhaps God knew the people were not open to acceptance for the most part overall. And that's a good sign of why to move on sometimes if the overall people just don't want what's being offered. And so they moved on. The gospel was being given out, though. God had them keep moving from city to city and spot to spot. They were missionaries and they were getting the job done, but they were being scattered from place to place. And so, well, what does all this mean, preacher? Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you four things tonight about what all this means. So it means this. Number one, God scattered the people so they wouldn't be one. O-N-E. God scattered the people so they wouldn't be one. One is what? As a people. In Genesis chapter 11, I'm talking about, God was concerned about the direction of these people. He was not intending for there to be just one nation, which is what the Antichrist will be trying to do in the end times one day, amen? And we'll not get off into all that tonight, but he didn't intend for that. He also didn't intend for them to be one as a religion. Nimrod was their leader. He didn't intend for them to be one religion, but Nimrod had his own religion. It was contrary to God's religion. Their religion was not what God had in mind. God is not for a one world religion. That's what a lot of people push for in our world today, a one world religion. How can that work when not everybody believes the same? How can you have a one world religion? If I believe you're saved, as the book teaches, the Bible, by Jesus Christ and his shed blood alone, how can I lump up with somebody who believes you're saved by good works and being a good person? They don't match. So I can't lump together and we can't be one. So God didn't want them to be one as one nation. God had scattered them. God didn't want them to be one as one religion. So those were the two reasons why he scattered them. Because when they tried to come together like one nation, tried to come together like one religion, what'd they do? They said, we're going to build a tower. It's going to reach all the way up to heaven. And we're going to go up there. They thought the sun was God's eyeball up there. We're going to go up there and look at God. God said, oh, no, you're not. First off, you ain't going to be able to build that thing that high. But secondly, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to separate you. I'm going to confuse your language. I'm going to give you different speech. You're not going to be able to understand each other. And you're going to separate. And that's exactly what it did. He busted up their little party. So God did not want for them to be one. So he scattered them. Number two. God scattered the church of Jerusalem so they would not be just one O-N-E. I'm specifying that for a reason. You'll catch it in a few minutes. And some of you will never catch it. Number two. God scattered the church of Jerusalem so they would not be just one. God was not looking for one mega church. No Vatican being created in Jerusalem by God. No Mecca being created by God in Jerusalem. God was not looking for that. God came and had his son, Jesus Christ, come die on the cross to pay for our sins. But before he went to that cross, you know what he did? He started a New Testament church. He started it with 12 men, the 12 disciples. It was the church at Jerusalem. He was the founder of the church, Jesus Christ, the starter of it. But he never intended it would be just one church where everybody came to just one place all the time. First off, that don't work when you're scattered all over the world. But he never intended for that. But what was happening in Jerusalem, they were doing a good job of preaching the gospel after Jesus left, amen. And they were doing, I mean, that church was growing. It was getting to be a big church. But God said, wait a minute. Jesus told you in Acts 1:8, shortly before he left, what you were to do. He told you Jerusalem, but wait a minute. He added some other places in there too. Judea and Samaria and the othermost parts of the earth. You aren't going to those places. So I'm going to have to do something to bust you up so I can disperse you. That's just what God did. He was looking for missionaries. The church at Jerusalem was getting huge. The way God could convince them to propagate was to bring persecution their way. He did that in Acts chapter 8. He brought persecution their way. He got them to disperse the way he had intended for them to. God scattered them. He scattered them. Once they scattered, they started scattering seed. Amen. They started giving out that seed. The word of God's the seed. Amen. They started giving out that gospel. Amen. They started going from town to town, place to place. They were giving out the gospel. And guess what was happening when the word was being spread? People was getting saved. Amen. Hey, guess what? They were scattering. And the gospel was being spread to other parts of the world as God had intended that it should be. And they started other churches, which is where the soul winning was going to be funneling through, was through these local New Testament churches that were being started. And they were scattering seed in those areas. And that's what God had intended. Number three, God wants us to scatter around town so it can be one. W-O-N. W-O-N. Say one? Yeah, one to Christ. One to Christ. Paul witnessed everywhere he went. When they threw him in prison and beat him, he responded by winning the prison keeper to Christ. Amen. Paul got him converted. Amen. He got the man's entire family converted. He baptized him. Get this. Right away. Can you imagine? Right away he baptized him. Right away. No baptismal classes. No requirement sheets to sign. Just dunked him into water the same night they got saved. Amen. Just right away. Amen. Just right away. And say, why do you make such a big deal about that? Because I tell you what, we've been more criticized by other preachers in this town, even Baptist preachers, because we baptize people the same day they get saved here. Yeah, I think they did that in the Bible too, amen. They did that in the Bible too, amen. Now, how was all this done? It was done by scattering seed around town. If we don't keep scattering seed around town, this city won't come to Christ. Right. Amen. There won't be one without spreading the seed, amen. It's necessary. So, this big city here, amen, for the Midwest, really it is. You might think, well, we can't make any kind of a dent into it. I think so. We can have an impact. We can make a dent. Amen. We can make a dent. Let's see. We can make an impact. Amen. By the way, we already have. Amen. We already have. 3/4 of you sit here tonight got one to Christ since I came here. Amen. We came to your door. We knocked on your house. We told you how to be saved. You came to church. You got baptized. You became involved in our church. And now you go out too. Amen. You get here this morning, it's about, I know the crowd doubles or so, but triples maybe even, I guess. I don't know how many we got here. But guess what? 85% of those people, 90% of those people, all run to Christ through our soul winning efforts at our church. We can make a dent, folks. Amen. By the way, it's a Bible plan. Amen. So, what did they do? Paul continued on. Amen. What did they do? Went to Thessalonica. The Bible says they did what in Thessalonica? They turned the world upside down. They turned the world upside down. These are those that have turned the world upside down. Folks, tonight we can turn Lincoln upside down. If we just be a spirit-filled church. Just be a spirit-filled church. Amen. And say, what's that mean? I'm not talking about talking like a turkey. Amen. I'm not talking about dancing around, doing the dish rag twist and the skunk skedaddle. I'm talking about being spirit-filled. Amen. When you're spirit-filled, you want to tell other folks about Jesus Christ. You're spirit-filled, you want to try to live for Him a pleasing life. You're spirit-filled, you want to go to church and hear the preaching of the Word of God. You're spirit-filled, you want to read your Bible every day. You're spirit-filled, you want to spend time in prayer every day. Amen. You're spirit-filled, you want to pray for those missionaries that we support. Amen. You're spirit-filled, you want to pray for people that got needs and hurts. Amen. Like that Carissa Daniel, who's suffering from leukemia, who used to be a missionary's wife, a missionary in Costa Rica we used to support, who lives down in Texas now. You want to pray for somebody like that because you're thinking about somebody else besides yourself. Why would you want to do that? Because you're spirit-filled. You have a spirit-filled church. Amen. I'm just old-fashioned enough to believe that a church like ours can change this whole area around here. Amen. I happen to believe that. Don't forget, we're making a dent. We're making a dent. Number four tonight. Number four. Don't get excited. We're not done that quick. Number four. God wants us to scatter around the world so it can be one. W-O-N. God wants us to scatter around the world so it can be one. We want to start churches in other towns around Nebraska one day. We want to start churches in other parts of the world one day. How will we ever be able to do it? Where will we ever start one? Paul is a good example on how to find a place. You know what he did? Paul goes on to Athens. He addressed the elite crowd. Where at? Mars Hill. I keep forgetting you can hear that. These were professors, probably of Greek and Hebrew, amen. These were cultured types. These were educated ones, higher learning, you know, those sorts. I wonder how Paul will address them. Perhaps he will talk in a real educated sense and with very high, sophisticated words. Perhaps he will do that. Remember now, Paul was highly educated himself. Amen. Perhaps he'll talk in a sophisticated manner to them. He's able to be a cultured type too, after all. I just wonder how Paul will address them. After all, the Parathon was across the street. He starts by telling them that they're ignorantly worshiping some unknown God to whom they have an inscription to on their altar. Wow. He took the elite, highbrow, educated types and he told them they were ignorant. That's what he said. Amen. I guess there goes the culture. He wasn't going to use that kind of method, wasn't he? Instead, he didn't pull any punches. Amen. He just told it to them straight. He was there to start a church, perhaps, but was unable to do so. Why? The overall crowd would not receive the truth. That's why. Just a few folks cleaved to the truth, the Bible says there in Acts chapter 17. So what did Paul do? He moved on. Where did he move on to, preacher? Corinth. He went to Corinth. Guess what he did in Corinth? He started a church. He started a church. What's he do when he first gets there? Oh, he goes to the synagogue and preaches the gospel to him. What'd they do? They kicked him out. He goes next door. Starts a church. Amen. Wins him to Christ. Starts a church in the house right by there. He began witnessing and preaching the gospel. The people's hearts were open. The Bible says, God said in the Bible there that I have many people here. I fully believe that means that because the people's hearts were open, God had many people. They were just waiting to be won to Christ by Paul. God had prepared them for him. What would have happened if Paul wouldn't have went? Many of those people may have never gotten saved. But Paul did go. Paul did start a church. And they began to get saved by the droves. We one day will hope to start churches in places where the hearts are open. And that's what we desire to do. It may take a little work to find the place, but we will scatter seed along the way as we do it. Now, since we aren't ready to start churches ourselves right now, we will have to support others who are ready now to start churches. We call them missionaries because the Bible calls them missionaries. That's why we have a missions conference, amen. That's why we have faith promise giving on our envelopes. That's why we only bring in soul winning missionaries. Amen. Praise God for these men we support. They win souls. Amen. They are soul winners. Praise God for them. Listen, I might be considered by some a rabble-rouser because of all the soul winning, but I'm really serious about the work of God. Amen. It's the most important work. It's the best business. It's the most important business that there is God's business. Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. Amen. It's the most important business there is. What we got to do? Scatter seed. What we got to do? Keep it going. Amen. Keep scattering seed. Amen. Keep scattering seed. Hey, folks, listen. That's what we got to do. We've got to have missionaries that scatter seed. We've got to have missionaries that win people to Christ. We've got to have those kind of missionaries. Amen. Listen, over the years, I've learned my lesson as a pastor. We had men come in here that I know good and well were not soul winners. By the way, we did not support them. Came in here and said all kinds of flowery things while they were here, and then come to find out, I mean, you talk to them about, when they last led somebody to Christ. Here you're talking to somebody who's a missionary, going to go to the other side of the world and start a church. And we get answers back like, a year and a half ago in some detention center, if they really meant it. Say, what's that mean? It means they ain't getting no support from us. That's what that means. If they really meant it. We could say that about you. Did you really mean it? Missionary. For all we know, maybe you didn't really mean it. And maybe that's why you're just looking to go on a vacation at somebody else's expense. And by the way, that same missionary sent letters here for years and years and years and not talked about anybody getting saved at all. Sad. We have them go soul winning now, amen. We have them go soul winning. And Brother Zapata's coming in on Friday, amen. Guess what he's going to do on Saturday? Go soul winning, amen. Say, you think he will? Preacher? I'm pretty sure he will. Yeah, I don't have any doubts about it. But if he don't, he won't get no support from us ever, that's for sure. And because if he ain't going to win souls here, he ain't going to go to the Philippines and win souls. I promise you that. Say, why not? Hey, when you go from one culture to another, it's totally different. Isn't that right, Blaze? Totally different. And you're going to have a hard time just functioning and surviving in a culture that you're not used to at first. If you're not somebody who's already used to winning souls and telling people about Jesus Christ, you'll have a hard time. I'll tell you, my wife and I went to a missions conference one time back when I was on deputation as a missionary to the Philippines years ago. And we sat there at that missions conference, and there was a table of missionaries gathered around. And I can't remember if she was right by me or if the wives were at another table or what the situation was, but there was a bunch of missionaries gathered around. A couple of them were talking back and forth. And they said that this pastor that they had talked to actually expected them to win souls. And he said, he got on the phone to me, and he said to me, the pastor said to me, when's the last time you went soul winning? And he said to this other missionary, he said, like, I'm a missionary. He said, like, I got time to go soul winning? Like, I got time to go soul winning? You're a missionary. What do you mean, do you got time to go soul winning? That's crazy. And these guys didn't work jobs. I was still working a job and on deputation. And we was in Lindale, Texas. That's where we was at. And that's what they were saying. And they were on full-time deputation, just traveling from church to church. And said, we're going from church to church. We ain't got time to go soul winning. Hey, you know what? It don't take much. I'll tell you, we can drive through some town, some place where we're traveling, and we just pull off. I said, there's some people over there. Let's go talk to them. It don't take that long. We can go through Kansas City. We can just pull off. We pulled off one spot in Kansas City one time. My wife and I was heading back, and we had to travel on a Thursday. I don't like that because I like to go sowing on Thursdays. And we just pulled off, and there were some people there, and started talked to this old guy up here in the driveway, and we was just off of I-29 in Kansas City. And I was talking to him, and I was telling him about how to be saved and how to go to heaven, and he was real nice and prayed and asked Christ to save him, all that. And then he says to me, he said, "Listen now," he said, "you better get on out of here." I said, "Why is that?" He said, "This is a rough neighborhood." He said, "Don't you know that?" I said, "I don't know, I'm just passing through on the interstate." I said, "It looks a little rough, yeah." He said, "Well," he said, "I don't want you to get hurt now." He said, "You better get on out of here." I said, "Oh, don't worry." I said, "We're leaving." I said, "I got to get down the road." hey, you know what? He was concerned about me just like I was concerned about him. Amen. And it was a rough neighborhood, but I've never worried about that. And you know what? I've never had any problems. Right. Never had any problems. And you just go and you tell folks, and God take care of you. God take care of you. Amen. We've got to scatter seed. We've got to keep it going. Amen. They that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word, the Bible says. Amen. That's what we've got to do tonight. Amen. We've got to do, just like they were singing in the beginning of the night, to the regions beyond. We've got to get it everywhere in our city, and we've got to do our part to get the gospel to the regions beyond. That's what we've got to do. Amen. Let's stand to our feet.